the Rokan Show with Anna Blazes live from the Chicago Auto Show, the nation's largest auto show, going on here at McCormick Place through February 20th. And here is the man that made it all happen, Chicago Auto Show Chairman Mike McGrath Jr. And I've known Mike a long time. I've never seen him this tired. So this is
a long
where we
weekend,
are right
but
now.
But congrats on all that you raised. $2.8 million, was it, for local charities?
Yeah,
incredible.
Just over $2.8 million for 18 local charities to keep all that money here in Chicago. It's the feel-good event of the auto show for sure so far.
So cool.
So of that $2.8 million, each charity, there's 18 of them, they each sell tickets, right? And there's a $250 a ticket, is that?
Yeah, the tickets are $275, and every charity can sell as many tickets as they like, and every ticket they sell, they keep 100% of the proceeds.
Wow.
We have a general fund. If you went to chicagoautoshow.com and purchased a ticket, you could punch one of the charities you wanted your money to go to, or just punch the general fund, which a lot of generous people out there in Chicago do.
Wow.
And then that money gets broken up into the
divided,
yeah,
the
between
18
the
pieces,
18
yeah.
charities. So some cool. charities do better than others based on their ticket sales, but overall they all did very, very well that night.
No question.
And there's no shortage of good causes there. And again, that money all stays in Chicagolands and helps our own.
And that's and it's hard. I mean, a lot of charities compete just to be a part of this because it is, as you point out, one of the biggest fundraising nights of the year for everybody. And it is, and to some degree for these charities, it's no muss, no fuss. It's not like they're putting on a gala at their own expense or something like that. The party is coming to them.
It is the easiest event of the year for them because we produce the whole event. We arrange all the food, the chefs, the restaurants, the mixologists, the wine, beer, and liquor sponsors. They just need to invite their guests and sell tickets. And we do all that to give back to those charities. And they raise the money then to take care of their own.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the situation here with Kevin and Violetta. You know, we sent them over to the test tracks.
The interactive test tracks.
You heard a little bit of this, and I'd like to not only to apologize to you, but to the listeners, to the close to 1 million people listening right now.
Award-winning stuff right there.
Yeah, I'd like to apologize on behalf of Kevin and Violetta for what just occurred. But I wonder, it is interesting because in the number of years that, you know, you have been involved with this event, I know you grew up around it, but I mean, you have been, you know, part of the Chicago Automobile Trade Association board of directors for the better part of the last decade, right? Nine out of the last 10 years. It seems to me that this show in that decade has changed really dramatically. Mm-hmm.
It really has. When I started on the board 9 years ago, it was not only about the cars, but it was also about the concepts. You know, taking a little glimpse into the future on what the vehicles were going to look like 3, 4, 5 years down the line, and also the technology that was coming. And that was really the exciting part of the show, on top of all the vehicles that were all under one roof, and you can see them in all one place and really have a great day of, you know, just experiencing everything that's new and out there. But the show has become so experiential now, and the manufacturers really want to show what their vehicles are capable of doing, not just sitting on carpet and looking pretty under the lights, but putting them through the paces. And the SUVs, really, you get the best experience out of on the test tracks. Jeep has always done a tremendous job, and Toyota, and Dodge Ram truck has got one now that is a lot of fun. But Mercedes, I will say, has knocked it out of the park with their Iron Schuckel, as I'm told it said.
Careful when you say that.
Yeah, I'm not sure what
that means.
Watch out.
I know I've said Schuckel, a few different variations of it, and I've been corrected several times, and every time I'm corrected, they tell me to say something else. So
yeah, those Mercedes
it's in
guys,
that, it's in that range. Uh-huh. But it really, I think, is one of the best experiences here because as I was walking up and I heard you on the speakers, and as they're screaming, as they're laughing, what's going on in the background, this is one of those rides where you are on the edge of your seat. And it's really, really a fun
Haven't
experience.
Haven't they recreated sort of a mountain from Europe where they do some of the test driving for some of the
Anna,
vehicles?
Yeah, exactly. You're absolutely right. What they've done is they've created a 42-degree pitch that goes straight up. And when you hit the top, it's like a teeter-totter. And then it rebalances to come down the other side.
Wow.
And as you're coming down, you're literally hanging by your seatbelt. You're no longer on the chair. And the fact that the wheels aren't slipping, and you see 42 feet of free fall in front of you, and you're not falling, really the thrill of the ride.
It's like a roller coaster.
Yeah, and when you're going up, you know, the same thing. You're just glued to the back of the chair. It's hard to pull your head up off the neck rest, like almost if like you're in a fighter jet. I mean, it's really a thrill ride. And
it shows you what those cars can do, what the vehicles can do.
Yeah, absolutely. It shows you what they can do, and that's not the only great one here. The other SUV tracks are also have something to each one of them that makes them special. The Dodge Ram, there's this 22-degree bank churn. Now, 22 degrees doesn't seem that much, but when you're in the passenger seat and you've got your head rested on the driver's shoulder, you realize how far you're tipped over.
One of the things I think is interesting here, too, is we've watched the auto industry has changed so much in the last decade in terms of the ability of the manufacturers to turn around new product or a product that looks different there, you know, to be able to use that robotic technology and CAD-CAM and all that to redesign cars. It used to take, you know, a decade to redesign a car. Now it takes a matter of months to redesign a car and retool a factory. And you see that expressed on the floor here.
You really do, and I guess that's the race, is to have the latest and greatest and coolest new design on the street. And with the technology today, you know, laser stamping the metal, they are able to do things with the lines of the vehicles that were never even possible, you know, 10 years ago. So, I mean, that's why you see a lot of these very radical, you know,
angular-looking things,
angular, bold front-end cars. You know, again, it's a race to captivate as much attention as you can, and everybody's in the same race.
I know that you're very associated with Lexus and Acura and Honda, and also Hyundai. But if you could choose a car outside of those, because I think that what they're doing at Hyundai is very, very cool right now. They're separating out the Genesis line to make that a luxury brand, right?
Right.
And then they've got that. They've been one of the most aggressive players in terms of making, you know, making those kinds of changes. But let's talk about what, like, if you saw a car outside of here, do you ever get a little just sort of like, I like that?
Well, you know, if you're speaking of Hyundai, and you're right, they've had really visionary styling the last 5 years, and it's really put them on the map as a mainstream manufacturer. But their parent company, Kia, I would say has...
Wait, Kia is the parent of Hyundai?
Yes.
Wouldn't you have expected that went the other way?
I would have, yes.
Yeah, I would have expected that that Hyundai was, you know, Kia worked for Hyundai.
Well,
sure.
I guess that's just to my point. Kia's styling has come such a long way, and their new Sportage, if you go over to their display, is a vehicle that's going to be in the mid-$25,000 range, and it is by far the best-looking vehicle that will be on the road at that price range when it comes out in the next few months.
What about concept cars, Mike? Because you mentioned that they always get a lot of attention because it sort of shows you where everything's going, and they're always so fun to look at. Some of them never get made or never get used, but what kinds of trends are you seeing there as you look around?
Well, the trends you're seeing are mostly in SUV concept cars now, because as sedans are declining in sales, SUVs are skyrocketing. For the first time last year, SUVs outsold sedans. Mm. So you'll see mostly SUV concepts on the floor, and there's some pretty cool ones. Nissan has got a van-like muscle truck that is not sure that it will ever be a mainstream vehicle on the road, but when you go up to it and look at it, I mean, it just looks strong and mean and like something you want to drive for the weekend.
Strong, I mean, and mean, that sounds good on some weekend,
yeah,
that's for sure.
That's how I've been, half of that is how I've been described. Actually, you know what you just said, it was like, you know, like you said van and SUV and, you know, mean, all this, and you never think about a van that way, but I've noticed that that's true amongst a lot of the bigger cars. I guess this is an interesting thing. A decade ago, everybody was talking about small cars.
Mm-hmm.
We have to go small, small,
smaller.
Small, small, small. Mm-hmm. And you do see a lot of smaller cars, especially in the hybrid and the electric categories. But it seems like we've decided, yeah, you know, gas, you know, $2 and some change a gallon. Yeah, we're going back to the big ones.
Yeah, well, there's two reasons for that. There's something called CAFE, which is corporate average fuel economy, and that means for all the vehicles Chevrolet sells and sedans, they have to meet a certain fuel average by, you know, 2020, 2025, and the standards are getting very high. I think by 2025, it has to average 35 miles to the gallon on average.
Yeah.
So that means they need 50 miles per gallon cars to balance out the Corvette and things of that nature. So cars are continue to become more and more fuel efficient as this CAFE standard is in place to make, you know.
And the technology is better for that, too, because you've got these engines that now adjust how much.
That's right. The variable valve timing is a big technology that adjusts airflow and lowers fuel consumption. But turbochargers have come such a long way in their technology, and most importantly, their quality. Turbochargers have been around forever, but they were really tough on the engines, and how fast they spun wore out the bearings, and they didn't last very long, and they were expensive to replace. Today, they are as high quality as the engines themselves, and they are meant to last hundreds of thousands of miles, and they can get a tremendous amount of power out of a small block engine.
So I know that, because we're right across from the Chevy display here, that Kevin and Violetta actually went over, and she stuck her hand in the engine, you know, the holes of the
engine.
We're
not sure that's safe.
You shouldn't do that if the engine's on, right?
Don't
Isn't that correct?
It.
You might get the piston hitting you, or the heat, too.
The heat might be a problem?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, you might be a problem.
No, we could actually we should heat one of those things up and make eggs. What do you think? Anybody want to do that?
I'm not going to touch those. Yeah. They just look good from a distance. I'm happy they're there.
All right. Congratulations, Mike, on this. This is, again, one of the great events every year for Chicagoans to come to. And as Anna said, you know, come more than once because you cannot get this whole thing in one day.
You really can't.
1.1 million square feet of floor space here this year. And how many people do you think will come through the doors?
Well, it's somewhere close to a million people every year. It's a huge
incredible
number. And as on the weekends, you know, we were doing close to 100,000 people a weekend. It really didn't ever feel like it was too crowded.
Right.
I mean, it was really busy,
yeah,
but it was never too crowded. I mean, there's just so much space down here. We have 1.1 million square feet this year. It's the biggest show we've ever produced.
That's an apartment in New York.
That's right. That's 10 square feet.
That's personal space to move around in.
I like that.
Yeah.
And congratulations on this because it is, again, this show is every year I come to it, and every year I'm amazed by it, and what a cool looking experience it is, and how easy it is, and how you guys and the Chicago Automobile Trade Association who do this, put this on every year, how incredibly professional, what a system you have, because they, you go to some of these other, obviously Detroit is huge, LA, New York, but you go to some of these other things and some of these other towns, you know, that does not look like this. The manufacturers always want to put on the best face they possibly can, but Chicago does great, because McCormick Place is just a spectacular space for this kind of thing.
It is. This is a world-class space. There's not another city in the United States that has a facility like this. It really gives us the opportunity to put on this type of show. And it's the biggest consumer show in the country. A lot of the shows you mentioned in the East Coast of L.A., or I'm sorry, the East Coast of L.A., the East Coast of New York and the West Coast of L.A. and Detroit and the heartland of the Big Three, their shows get a lot of attention because of the press. They're launching their vehicles there. The Asians are launching their vehicles typically in L.A., and the Germans are launching their vehicles in New York, and the Big Three launch them in Detroit. But we also get a lot of attention because nobody wants to try to compete with some of that crowded arena of media.
Right.
And the consumers here in Chicago, being in the middle of February, there's not a lot of things to do, and this is the most exciting thing going on usually this month.
That's for sure.
A cheap date. It's $13 bucks for a ticket. You know?
Hey, and if you come on Wednesday or Thursday, you can bring in some canned goods and get a discount too, so even cheaper.
Yes.
All right. Mike McGrath, Jr., he is the chairman of the auto show this year. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mike.
It's been an honor to be part of it.